You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, my friends. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. The biggest game this week is clearly the Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is 0-3 against Patrick Mahomes and has spent time this week talking about how it's not about he and Mahomes, and it's a nice thought on his part. But how do we grade quarterbacks? We grade quarterbacks on championships. We grade quarterbacks on when they face each other head-to-head. We grade quarterbacks on their greatness and MVPs and such. In this case, whether or not Lamar wants it to be about the two of them, it is. And I drew this comparison last hour. Think about the greatness of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. You know, there is a thought that Brady absolutely owned Manning. But the truth of the matter is this. While Brady had the better record overall in the postseason, Manning was 3-2. Against Brady. You know, you have to realize sometimes that when opportunities present themselves to prove what you are, that those are few and far between when you get the special level opportunity. This is one of them. When you have a chance to go up against the best of the best, which is what Lamar Jackson has this week, and Mahomes for the fourth time in his career, and he's 0-3, and he's still at the juncture where even though he is an MVP, he has to prove himself. It's remarkable to think that that's the case, but is there anybody that you could look at more in the league with Jackson than Jackson that is consistently, I don't want to use the word criticized, but I would say questioned as to whether or not he will be a championship quarterback. For Pete's sake, his team still wants to figure out if he is going to be able to be that level of quarterback for the entirety of his career. If you want to point to him being a running quarterback, and that's not a recipe for being a long-term success in the league, I understand what your thinking is, but this is somebody that won an MVP when he threw 36 touchdowns and 6 picks and rushed for 1,000 yards and completed 35% of his 65% of his passes. These are not pedestrian numbers. Those are top-notch numbers. Lamar Jackson is amazing. And if you're still questioning what he is, you haven't watched him enough. But this is one of those games that will consistently have fans questioning what he is. Because when he goes straight up against Patrick Mahomes and you lose the game like he has all three previous times, they're always going to look at you differently. Never mind the fact that he's 30-5 against the rest of the league. Think about that for a second. MVP against MVP. It has been Mahomes who has had the upper hand over Lamar. This is one of those weeks where even though he doesn't have Marcus Peters on defense, even though they've had the injuries that they've had at running back and they're running guys out there like Tyson Williams and Latavius Murray, who they just picked up, and Devontae Freeman, who they just signed to the active roster. It's not about any of that. It's about Lamar Jackson elevating teammates to that next level. Mahomes already has teammates at that next level. He's got Travis Kelce. Mahomes has Tyreek Hill. Where is Lamar Jackson's Tyreek Hill? He doesn't exist on that team. So it's a lot easier to take chances when the guys on the other end of receiving those passes can make all the plays to get to them. So if you want to believe that Lamar Jackson is one of the great quarterbacks in the league, you're right to do that. But if you want to have it proven to you, you'd love to see it this weekend and actually have him beat Mahomes at home. Because that's where the narrative starts to change a bit. I don't think that Jackson is quite on that same level as Mahomes. But let me ask you this question. If you took Jackson and put him on the Chiefs, how much different would the Chiefs' fortunes of the last couple of years have been? Would they have won a Super Bowl? Would they have gotten to another one? If your answer is anything but yes, you're wrong. You're wrong. The Chiefs would have won a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. The Chiefs would have won gotten to a second Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. It doesn't take away from the greatness of Mahomes, but let's be fair. There's a big difference between Hollywood Brown and Tyreek Hill. And even though Mark Andrews is a good tight end, there's a big difference between Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews. Are we being fair? We are being more than fair. And this Lamar Mahomes discussion is the next Brady Manning. It really is. You think about it being one-sided, and I misspoke on this the last hour. I didn't clarify that it was in the playoffs where Brady has the disadvantage. It's actually been Peyton Manning who beat him 3 out of 5 times in the postseason. That's where he had the winning record. Brady was 11-6 overall against Manning. But when it mattered the most, Manning had the upper hand. So Jackson has an opportunity to start to rewrite some of this narrative. And that's a word that I've grown to really hate, because narrative generally means in recent times that it's not based in truth. It's based in what people want to think. And they try to make it so with arguments. No. You have to go based in fact. What is a fact is the Dallas Cowboys are in big trouble right now. DeMarcus Lawrence broke his foot yesterday, in case you didn't hear. And that is a major, major problem for Dallas, because he is their best pass rusher and he is out 6 to 8 weeks. And Randy Gregory is still in COVID protocol. You don't know whether or not he's going to be able to go this week. So how exactly do you slow down the Cowboys offense, or the Chargers offense, excuse me? Well, Keyshawn Johnson this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max said simply that he fully expects Justin Herbert to be better than Dak this week. It's not. And when you look at it, they made them work hard for it. They made them work hard for it throughout the course of the day. I don't know if the Cowboys are capable of making the Chargers work that hard for it. When I say work hard, yeah, 337 yards. But, you know, you look at Keenan Allen, and he had 9 catches to get to 100 yards. That's 11 yards a catch. That's not we're blowing the doors off this place and lifting the roof off of it. They only had 3 pass plays that were more than 20 yards, and they were all barely more than 20 yards. What that means to me is when you throw it 47 times and you have 337 yards passing, you had to earn every bit of that. Are the Cowboys capable of doing that right now without those 2 pass rushers? They're at least without DeMarcus Lawrence. The answer is no, they're not. Factor in that he also had offseason back surgery. The Cowboys at 0-2. Their season will not be over, but it will be severely hampered. Severely hampered. And the only thing that keeps them alive at that point is the fact that they play in a terrible division. Absolutely awful. The winner of the NFC East is going to have 7 or 8 wins this year. Think about this last week, okay? The offensive line for the Los Angeles Chargers only gave up 2 sacks and 5 quarterback hits to the best defensive front in all of football, the Washington football team. 2 sacks, 5 hits. They didn't have any over-the-top amazing performances from individuals. They worked exceptionally well as a group. They had 2 good performances that from Pro Football Focus were graded above 70 and in the top third in the league. Other than that, it was pretty much pedestrian. The other thing that they did, they limited the ability of the Chargers to run the ball at just 3.1 a clip. They made them work for everything with their offense. They also allowed the Chargers, as a result with them working for everything, to have the football for 36 minutes. All of that, and they limited Los Angeles. I keep wanting to say San Diego, even a couple of years later. They limited the Chargers to 20 points in winning the game. With the Chargers winning the game. That's impressive. What we saw last week, albeit against the Super Bowl champions, you can't do that. You're not going to be able to do that against these Chargers if you're the Cowboys defense. And what does it mean? 35 points to win. That's what it means. This is getting more and more challenging by the moment for Dallas. And I don't see a way in which they can win this football game without DeMarcus Lawrence and potentially Gregory. Because as much as the Chargers were limited last week, you still have an incredibly explosive offense that got limited by an excellent defensive front. Tonight, Thursday Night Football opens up week 2, the Giants and the Washington football team. Taylor Heinicke at quarterback for Washington. The Giants are starting Price at center, and they're moving Gates over to guard because Shane Lemieux is out. They've got all kinds of problems on what was already a bad offensive line. Who needs this game more? It's the Giants. Otherwise, that season completely falls apart quickly. For Washington, I honestly believe their defense is good enough, again, in a god-awful NFC East, to win the division even if they go 0-2. Because that it is an elite-level unit for them. Elite-level unit. There are not elite-level units on some of these other teams. The Cowboys are approaching elite offensively, but they're not quite there yet. The Eagles don't have anything elite. The Giants don't have anything elite. This is problematic. When Washington has that level of defense, I think it's big trouble for Daniel Jones and company. No Evan Engram, who is his favorite target. Washington already has their built-in excuse to lose this game because of Taylor Heinicke. But remember, this is the same guy that that gave them an opportunity in the postseason and gave the Tampa Bay Buccaneers their absolute toughest challenge. That was an impressive, impressive performance by Washington that night, and the Bucs were just able to get by. The Giants fall to 0-2 tonight. They could be finished. They could absolutely be finished. Again, the number bears repeating because it is so, so bad. 11% of the time, if you start the season 0-2, you make the playoffs. 11% of the time. So it's naturally going to raise the question, where are the seats warming up if the Giants fall to 0-2? Here's Damian Woody, ESPN NFL analyst on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. Jason Garrett is catching an awful lot of flack, And it's not just because they haven't been productive, but it's because the offense, frankly, looks like it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust in a lot of ways. We're trying to do things that they were doing in the late 1980s. They're not doing anything that's innovative at all. You don't know what level of Saquon Barkley you're going to get tonight, or even if he's going to play. He's listed as questionable. And if you listen to his words this week, didn't sound like he was terribly optimistic about it based on a short week and his first game back from torn ACL. Garrett, his play calling has been uninspiring, and he came here. They hired him to develop Daniel Jones. How's that working out for you, Red? Not too good. Daniel Jones has regressed under Jason Garrett. I'm going to repeat that again. Daniel Jones has regressed under Jason Garrett. Remember, he was working with Pat Shurmur a couple of years ago, and in his rookie season, he had 24 touchdowns and 12 picks. I mean, he still had the fumbling problem, but it was better. It was much better. And while he was banged up with a foot injury last year, the numbers were still bad with just 11 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. The Giants' offense overall, even after getting Kenny Golladay, it just looks blah. And there is nothing worse you can be these days in the NFL than uninteresting. Fans can't watch uninteresting. When you watch teams that don't do anything innovative offensively, and they're not nearly as good defensively as you thought they were, why is there a reason to get fired up and watch that team? There just isn't. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In moments, we will take your calls on Lamar Jackson and the potential to start to rewrite the narrative, if he can find a way to win, on whether Jackson and Patrick Mahomes is going to be the next Manning and Brady, on the Cowboys' lack of an opportunity to win this week against the Chargers, and who needs this game tonight more, the Giants or Washington? It's the Giants. Also in moments, Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, is going to join us in a bit for more perspective on Aaron Rodgers' historically bad performance last week. How great is it when you get to choose your favorite movie to watch? Well, ZipRecruiter's invite to apply lets you pick your favorites from the best candidates. ZipRecruiter sends you qualified candidates, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply for your job. Lauren Webb, SVP of Talent Acquisition for Mindela Health, has nothing but rave reviews for ZipRecruiter's invite to apply. She says, "I love the feature because we have a much higher follow-through if I invite candidates." Go to ZipRecruiter.com to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio up next. Is Aaron Rodgers actually able to just still flip the switch? We asked Jeff Darlington in moments on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Can Aaron Rodgers just simply flip the switch after a rough week one performance? And is Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes about to be the next Brady and Manning? 888 Say ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your chance to hit the Dr. Pepper call-in line in just moments. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Goodyear hotline. Rodgers is absolutely a fascinating, fascinating case study here for somebody at his age in this league to be able to try to turn it on after what was arguably the worst performance of his career. It certainly was up there. His quarterback rating was 13.4. And this is absolutely, considering the offseason drama that took place, a fascinating situation to watch play out in Green Bay. For more on that, more perspective on it, we welcome in ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Jeff, it's Chris Carlin. Appreciate a few minutes. How you doing?
What's up, Chris? Doing well, man. How's it going?
Everything's great, and that's where I want to start. Aaron Rodgers, Jeff, I just want to get your takeaway right now, evaluating this entire situation after a debacle of week one.
Well, I find myself inclined to be pretty patient with the process, mostly because I'll take you to Saturday when I had a conversation with Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, and we were talking about his relationship with Aaron and how he said he's never been closer to him. And I said, why do you think that is? And he said, a lot of honest conversations this offseason where it actually felt like their relationship got to a good place. Take that to a conversation with another assistant who was telling me how great Aaron has been throughout training camp as a leader, as a player. So by these accounts, Aaron had a really good training camp. This is the reigning MVP. So it's hard for me to believe that all of a sudden he just stinks, right? Mm-hmm. Even when you consider the drama that we saw happen this offseason. So I think it was probably an aberration. I think ultimately Aaron will be back to playing really good football. And the bigger question is probably the defense. And can the defense step up and be the type of group that can stop opponents? The Saints will probably look back and realize that that's actually a better offense than maybe we expected them to be. So I guess I'm being patient with the Packers for now is the best way I can put it.
Jeff, were you surprised at how Rodgers handled himself after the game? Granted, we know he's not a demonstrative guy, but in more of a nonchalant way.
Yeah, that's actually, generally speaking, and at times, he's pretty good about handling his emotions. I know we're going to probably, at this juncture, analyze everything that he says and does, but in past years, I'll go to his post-game press conferences, and he win or lose, he's pretty analytical, pretty even-keeled, and I didn't think it was that different than normal Aaron. But I do understand why, like, right now, we're inclined to be like, everything he says, every mannerism, is he pissed? Who's he mad at? Does this mean he's done? Like, I get it, but I will say that this is pretty much standard Aaron at this point.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio. All right, I have been making the contention today that Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes is going to be the new Brady Manning over the next 10 years. Am I an idiot or am I a genius?
Look, the only thing I'll say is that we've been trying to push that narrative for the past 2 years now. And I remember when I was at the game when Lamar Jackson went to Kansas City that first year, and it was epic the first time they played. And everybody after the game, when I was in the Chiefs locker room, Travis Kelce even, guys on the offensive side of the ball were like, we're going to see that guy for the next decade. He was awesome. And you could feel the respect they had for Lamar. And I'm not trying to take it away from Lamar. The only thing I'll say is I asked Mahomes this last year about Lamar. And Mahomes said, I remember what it was like to get beat by Brady the first few times, and it makes you want it even more. Until Lamar gets the best of Mahomes, I love Lamar Jackson, but it's not a rivalry until he makes it one. And for right now, I'm with you. I want to believe that will be the case, but nothing in the results between the Chiefs and the Ravens says that it's actually a rivalry.
Okay, so you won't say I'm a genius or an idiot, but it seems like you're leaning idiot.
I've never... Okay, fine, yes.
At least you're direct about it, and I appreciate that. Jeff, you look at tonight's game. Who needs this more to avoid going 0-2, the Giants or Washington?
That's a great question. I'll say Washington needs it more and will win this game. Not that I don't understand the panic that will ensue with the Giants, but Saquon Barkley is not where he needs to be yet. 10 carries in the first game, two games in 5 days for a guy who's coming off reconstructive knee surgery. For him to be effective, he can't. He's got to have a little bit more of a cold, like a warm, I guess, open to the season that he's not getting. So they could seemingly, to me, lose this game, get back on track. Washington, meanwhile, they have excuses too with Fitzpatrick. What are we talking about? This division is so overrated. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. They can both go 0-2. And then at the end of the season, we'll be like, oh, which 8-win team is going to make the playoffs? Like, you know, let's be honest. They could both lose. The whole division will go 0-2. They play each other. It'll still be 0-2. Something. They'll both lose the game. And we'll sit here at the end of the season, and they'll still have a chance at the playoffs. So what does it even matter? You know what I mean?
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, just completely destroying the premise of my questions. Jeff,
but is the NFC East not the most overrated division?
Oh, it's
in
terrible.
All sports?
I think it's absolutely awful, and I'm with you that a team is going to even potentially with 17 games. Could is it out of the realm that a 7-10 team with a tiebreaker or two could win that division? No.
I mean, every single year we talk about the NFC East, like which team is going to emerge the true playoff contender? And it's like, yeah, like the Cowboys, actually, I don't want to hate on too much. They looked pretty good in week one. But now they're down two pass rushers. The whole thing's falling apart already. It's week two. Every year, NFC East, man.
All right, so Jeff, with that said, which team in the league is in the most trouble if they fall to 0-2?
Oh, that's a good one. Man, what are the other two? Yeah.
I mean, are we looking at, you mentioned the Cowboys. Are they in there?
I was going to say, I feel like the Cowboys are in there. But, like, here's the thing. I can't say that because with that division, again, they're going to get their pass rush back eventually. They'll have DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory. Zeke will start to get more involved. They'll have Zach Martin in play. So they could seemingly start slow and still get things going. So that's not the team, but I'm trying to think who it is.
I'll throw a couple at you. I'll throw a couple at you. You pick from them, okay? We've got the Bills. We've got the Browns. We've got if the Ravens go 0-2, if Tennessee goes 0-2, the Colts.
Oh,
I mean, there's a
bunch. I believe in Tennessee. I think the Ravens will probably start 0-2, and that will be a foreshadowing of a pretty tough season for them. So I'll say that. But, like, what about the Patriots? Like, they're in a division that's actually tougher than we realize. And I know everybody wants to assume that they feel like they found their quarterback, so they're going to be better. But I'm not so sure. I mean, they lost to the Dolphins in week one. And people want to say, well, that game could have gone either way. It didn't. They lost. The Dolphins know better than anybody a game can go either way, and they always lose.
So and how does that game get decided? By a turnover late. That's how it happens.
That's right. That's that way the Dolphins lost for decades. So now they're on the other side of it, and the Bills will win the division. The Dolphins will chase the wild card, and what does that mean for the Patriots? We will find out.
Jeff, love it. Awesome insight. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us via the Goodyear Hotline with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up, final thoughts, final opportunities for you to get through at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, on Mahomes and Jackson, on the Cowboys being in massive trouble this week as they go to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers, and are quarterbacks' careers getting ruined earlier than ever? Some alarming numbers coming up in just moments. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Now, you know if there's a game, somebody's betting on it. So stream Season 2 of Better Days, the Mike Greenberg-hosted series that brings the true stories of unforgettable gambling adventures to life. All episodes are now streaming only on ESPN Plus. Can a quarterback get out in 3 years and have it all over with? We'll discuss in moments. Chris Garland, ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Night tonight for the Giants and for Washington. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Dr. Pepper call-in line on ESPN Radio. What's up, dude?
Not much. Thanks for taking the call. This game most certainly is more important for the Giants based off the fact that they went to Denver last week and got smacked by double digits. And then you have these two prospects. You have Saquon Barkley drafted second overall, giving him $170-some-odd million. And then Daniel Dimes drafted sixth overall. These guys have to show and prove they're in the year 3-4. And we saw the Washington football team, break through last year and make the playoffs. The Giants, with all these high draft picks and salary, they have to get the ball rolling, or you know, their window may have closed. Thanks for taking the time.
No problem. To me, it feels like this season could spiral out of control quickly for the Giants if they go to 0-2. And if this is a sloppy performance tonight, then there will be an all hands on deck. We need to seriously look at everything we're doing in the very short term to try to salvage a 17-game season. Adam in Indiana next on ESPN Radio. Adam, which 0-2 team is in the most trouble?
I say if the Packers go 0-2, to me, they'll be in the worst trouble, because it's already a year they had a bad offseason with Aaron Rodgers. Some people think he already wrapped it up Sunday and just waiting for the season to get over so he can be traded. Also, it's a divisional loss, so if something does happen to him and Jordan Love takes over, they're already down a game in the division already.
It's amazing. We were just talking about whether or not Aaron Rodgers can actually turn it on. I think they're in the best position of any team that potentially goes 0-2 if they do, because who do I fear in the NFC North? The answer is nobody. So a moment ago, I mentioned this, and it's so 100% apparent to be true. When you look at quarterbacks now, they get ruined earlier than ever, lose chances earlier than ever, and it's for a few different reasons. Quickly, just to give you an idea, the last time a quarterback got guaranteed money when they were drafted high in the draft was 2010, and it was Sam Bradford. So from 2011, let's say through 2019, because 2020 is still too soon, 27 quarterbacks were drafted in the first round. 8 of them are what you would call superstar or franchise quarterbacks definitively. Star to superstar to franchise quarterback. Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, despite what's going on with him. Andrew Luck was one of them. Ryan Tannehill has finally become a really good quarterback. And Cam Newton, who looks like he's pretty much shot as it is. These quarterbacks don't get chances nearly as much anymore, because you need to figure out by year 3 if you can pay them. And if you can't, if they haven't shown themselves by year 3, chances are that their chances are going to really start to diminish. And you don't get that, what's the word I'm looking for? Just that stability and time, because a team hasn't already put $50 million into you that they're forced to give you 4 and 5 years. That doesn't happen as much anymore. What's the other problem here? The teams that are taking quarterbacks high in drafts generally are bad football teams. And they are also generally football teams that within another year are going to be looking for a new head coach and a new staff. So if you spend your first year with one staff and then it completely changes into year 2, between college and the NFL, you will have worked with 3 different systems and 3 different coordinators in that stretch. There are just a laundry list of guys who flamed out either very quickly or within 3 to 4 years, it was clear they just were not going to be able to become that quarterback. Tannehill's the only guy of that group that the patience was really there, and he had to go somewhere else to honestly find it. It's amazing how much harder it is now when you're a first-round pick as a quarterback to really make sure that you're going to be a locked-up star quarterback for your career. The chances just aren't there. Carlin, ESPN Radio.